Please turn in the back, the Psalter hymnal, to page 35, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 27, question and answers 72 through 74, page 35. We'll read these questions and answers responsibly. Question 72 asks, does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that the blood and Spirit of Christ wash away our sins just as water washes away dirt from our bodies. But more important, he wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as physical washing with water. Should infants too be baptized? Yes. Infants as well as adults are in God's covenant and are his people. They, no less than adults, are promised the forgiveness of sin through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who produces faith. Therefore, by baptism, the mark of the covenant, infants should be received into the Christian church and should be distinguished from the children of unbelievers. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, which was replaced in the New Testament by baptism. Now let us take our Bibles and turn in the Word of God first to Isaiah chapter 44, beginning at verse 1. It's found on page 768. You can see this is one of the proof texts there on question and answer 74 about baptizing the children of believers, Isaiah 44. So children, as we read this, keep your ear open. It won't say so much children, but listen for offspring, descendants, where that's talked about in this prophecy. Isaiah 44, beginning at verse 1. People of God, we're about to hear are the very words of God. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you from the womb, and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Let us turn in the New Testament first to the book of Romans, chapter 6, page 1199. Romans 6 will begin reading at verse 1. But what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And let us turn to the last book in the Bible, Revelation 7. We'll read verses 13 through 17, 13 through the end. Revelation 7, page 1315. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Congregation, we have symbols, and they can have great meaning for us. Think of an engagement ring, wedding ring. Think of the flag of our nation. And in themselves, there's nothing to them, right? Just some metal, maybe some fabric. They don't do anything either, do they, in themselves? However, what impression is there if a lady appropriately shows her engagement ring? We expect that, don't we? What impression is given if someone burns the flag of their nation? Well, in themselves, nothing's happening, right? But we know that how we treat symbols reflects our heart. The symbol, the object itself, is nothing. But what it symbolizes, that's important. It's like that with the sacrament of holy baptism. A sacrament is more than a symbol. It's a sign and a seal. It's a wonderful ordinance that God entrusted to the church, commanded the church to use for his glory and for the good of his people. As I proclaim to you this evening, God uses baptism to assure us of his goodwill. God uses baptism to assure us of his goodwill. And first we consider baptism as sign, baptism as sign. Again, in itself, baptism does nothing. We need to be clear about that. As answer 72 says, no, it's Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit. They cleanse us from all sins. The outward washing with water itself does nothing spiritual. It's simply water, ordinary water being applied to an individual. In the case of an infant, that person is not very much aware of what's happening. Certainly doesn't understand at that moment its significance. Baptism is used by God to do something, not to save us itself, but to assure us, God's people, of his goodwill. Does that in part by being a sign, pointing to something. We spoke earlier of an engagement ring, a wedding ring, the flag of a nation. Those are powerful symbols in our culture, aren't they? The sacrament of holy baptism is a symbol, a meaningful sign. It's not one ordained by any government or human culture or the passing of time or the depth of tradition. Even better, God instituted it. And so we ought to pay careful attention then to what God intends to signify, to show by the sacrament of baptism. If one would get upset regarding a wedding ring or an engagement ring or the flag of a nation, how much more ought we to value what God has done, what God has instituted? And the sacrament of holy baptism is a sign teaching us that the blood and spirit of Christ wash away our sins, just as water washes away dirt from our bodies, just as an engagement ring is a sign that a particular woman is engaged to a particular man, engaged to be married, and just as flying the flag of your nation shows your loyalty, shows your support of the nation, even more, holy baptism is a sign having our sins washed by the blood and spirit of Christ. What a wonderful sign that is, congregation. Much better than an engagement to be married, as wonderful as engagement is, more glorious than any earthly nation, as much as we might love our country. It's a sign of our being washed of our sins. That means we're right with God. right with God through Jesus' blood. It's a sign of being washed with our sins so we can live a godly, holy life according to God's commandments. Here is a sign of eternal life. Life that's available for mankind. Even though, what are we by nature? Are we not a race that's rebelled against God? That has incurred guilt, deadly guilt, because of our sin and transgression? By nature, we are spiritually dead. But God has come to us. And He gives us life. He sets us free. Now, how can we speak of baptism as a sign of this? Because God in the Bible often presents forgiveness of sins in terms of washing. We read from Revelation 7. And there, John saw a vision in glory. A great multitude, clothed in white robes. And he's told by one of the elders there in the vision, these are those coming out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, baptism isn't directly mentioned there. That's true. But it's that theme, that thread of washing, of whiteness, of clean clothing. It's woven through the Scriptures. It's the same reality to which baptism points, of which it is a sign. That is in view, that washing. This is a vision of purity, moral, spiritual purity. Think in the Old Testament of the priest's garments. Think of, in the book of Zechariah, the vision Zechariah saw, chapter 3, the high priest. He had filthy robes, and he was given clean clothes, representing the removal of sins. Having the guilt of our sins forgiven. And why? Revelation tells us, made white in the blood of the Lamb. Blood doesn't turn things white, except spiritually. There in our passage from Revelation, God represented the reality with a picture, a vision. How blessed John was to see that vision. We're blessed to read it. We're told that even in the Scripture. Brothers and sisters, God has given to each one of us, not a vision, the sacrament of holy baptism. God represents the reality of washing, the forgiveness of sins, the renewal away from sin. You and I, we have something better than a personal vision. We have the sacrament of baptism. We don't just see it once, but, well, it happens once upon us, but how many times have some of the older ones in this congregation witnessed the baptism? Again and again and again. So what does this matter for us? Do not doubt. God forgives sins. God renews away from sin. There is no sin too great for God to forgive. There is no sin too entrenched in your life or my life for God to change you, to change me. Baptism is a sure sign God can. God does. What do you think about your sins? Your struggles? Sometimes maybe we get down, maybe even depressed because of the weight of our previous sins. And sin is horrible. We need to realize that. Baptism is a sure sign. God washes away all our sin. Washes it from His sight. White. What do we read? White in the blood of the Lamb. They've come out of great tribulation. Believer, you are clear in God's sight. You are forgiven. But also we think of the washing away, the renewal, the sanctification. Which one of us struggles against entrenched sin as much as we should? Sometimes aren't we tempted to throw up our hands and say, I can't. It's too much, these temptations. The sin we commit again and again. I can't do it. Child of God, baptism is a sure sign. God's Spirit washes you. You don't do it. He does it. Do not doubt. Jesus' blood has been shed. His Spirit is poured out. So your sins, my sins, are forgiven, yes, but also would be removed from us. They do not rule you anymore. Baptism is a sure sign. Forgiveness and renewal are yours because of the death of Jesus on the cross, washed in the blood of the Lamb. God uses baptism to assure us of His goodwill. It serves as a sign of God's goodwill and of His power, His grace in Christ. Now, if this were the only purpose, the only usefulness of baptism, that it's a sign of God's goodwill, well, that'd be wonderful in and of itself, wouldn't it? What an encouragement to our faith. But baptism is more than a mere sign. It is that, but it's more than that. It's also a seal. A seal, and that's what we move to in our second point, baptism as seal. Now, when an engagement ring is given, it's given by a man, not just any gal, but his future bride. Once she says yes, he gives it, not someone else. It's proof of his love. It's proof of his commitment to marry her. It's not just a sign of love in general. Here's an engagement ring. We like marriage, love, they're all good. No, it's more than that. It's, I want to marry you. I commit to you. It is, in one sense, a seal. And when she looks at that ring, not only does she think of her upcoming wedding, but she thinks of her fiancé, the commitment to her. In that case, they're linked, the sign, the seal. Although not every sign is a seal, when it is a seal, it's a powerful testimony. And it speaks not only to the fact, but assures of that fact. That is, the woman with the engagement ring is assured, as much as humanly possible, of her fiancé's love and commitment to her. And on the basis of that assurance, what does she do? She starts planning. She makes reservations. She probably begins spending a little bit of money along the way. Why? Because of that commitment. That ring is a seal of that. Engagement's a wonderful time. But fast forward to marriage itself. For then the covenant has been made. A wedding ring is, in one sense, a sign and a seal of that marriage relationship, of something that is the case. Not something that hopefully will happen, like engagement. But how much more than with baptism? Because baptism is not only from some fallible human, humans who, hey, let's face it, we don't fulfill every promise, do we? Sometimes things happen. But baptism, that's a sign and a seal from God. And we in the Reformed churches have recognized that, as answer 73 puts it, but more important, so he wants to teach us, but more important, he wants to assure us. And so with baptism, God not only pictures something that's available, something he does, the forgiveness of sins, but with one's baptism, we are to believe that the washing away of our sins is real. It's as real as that water. It's as real as it goes onto the body. It's as real as water washes away dirt. More real. We can't see, though, the washing away of our sins, can we? You can see washing away of dirt. You can't see the washing away of sins, but it is real. Just as a husband and a wife, you can't see love, can you? There's no little bars that you can see as to, oh, how much does this person love me? How much do they love me? Is it true? But love is real. The wedding ring, it's a visible sign and seal of that. How much more baptism? The Apostle Paul speaks of that in Romans 6. He wrote, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death." Now, when Paul speaks here of baptism, it's like he's interchanging the sacrament with the reality. It's amazing how he speaks of it. And in one sense, then every Christian has been baptized into Jesus, which includes all that he is, all that he has done for us. His death. his resurrection. And during the sacrament of baptism, the form that we read, we're instructed of what it means when we're baptized in the name of Jesus. That's what it is. Again, the earthly water does nothing. Let's be clear. But the apostle speaks there of actually dying, of actually being raised from the dead. God has established that close of a relationship between the sacrament and the reality. In order, why? To assure us, not of the earthly minister's power and grace, not of the church's power, not of water's power, but of God's power, God's grace, God's good will toward you in Jesus, believer. To all those who entrust themselves to Jesus, for the sake of Jesus, God forgives your sins. He washes them away. Therefore, believer, do not doubt. We doubt, don't we? At least we're tempted to. We doubt. Now, maybe not in our minds. If someone comes up to you and me on the street and right there asks us, of course you say, well, of course, Jesus, a believer, he died for me, he was raised for me. But we think of that in our lives, our faith wavers. How do we know? We sin. Every time you sin, every time I sin, it shows weak faith. It shows we don't trust God for this particular thing, in this particular situation. Because we're not trusting him enough to live according to his law. What did we sing earlier? Trust and obey, right? They're linked. To live according to every word that comes from the mouth of God. Sin comes from weak faith. The apostle wrote, whatever is not of faith is sin. When we're angry, it shows we're not trusting God, right? We're trying to get upset about something that didn't happen according to our whatever expectations. Someone crossed us. When we're impatient, it shows we're not trusting God. When we covet, when we lust, when we lie, when we disobey our parents, when we desecrate the Sabbath day, when we take God's name in vain, when we worship him according to our own thoughts instead of his commands, those are all evidence, the outworking. Our faith is weak. We need to have our faith strengthened. We need to have strengthened our trust. God is for you. Even if everyone else and everything else is against you, we need to have our faith strengthened. We're right with God. What did Paul say? We died with him. We were raised into newness of life. Sin does not have dominion over you, believer. We need to hear that. We need assurance of that. Consider your own life, child of God, and reflect, where does your faith need to be strengthened? Where are you struggling? We all have it. The Apostle Paul wrote, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. Again, we all know it with our minds, but don't we sin? We do. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know? Do you not know? God uses baptism to assure us of his goodwill. Know, believe. You've been washed from all your sins by the blood of Christ. Just like that picture in Revelation, washed in the blood. God wants to assure you by baptism the washing away of your sins is as real as that physical washing with water. Remember you were baptized, but even more, go from that baptism to trust Jesus, God's promise to you in Christ. It's what we have at the beginning of the Christian life. It's what we need every single step along the way, even to when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Trust me, God says. Don't you know? You've been baptized into his death. Don't you know? You've been raised from the dead by the glory of God to walk in newness of life. Don't you know who you are? Children, think when your parents give you a bath, or they give your younger brother or sister a bath, or maybe you take one yourself. Well, afterward, hopefully, you don't put on those old dirty clothes again, right? The one you had before you showered, before you bathed, you put on new clothes, fresh clothes, clean clothes, right? Why? Well, because you're washed. Things are different now. Well, maybe perhaps you reach for those old clothes, especially younger kids might do that. And your parents say, what are you doing? Put those new ones on. But what if you persist? What if you keep doing that? Parents say, what's wrong with you? Are you feeling okay? No, you don't do that. They'll remind you, won't they? They remind you. They assure you, perhaps. How much more earthly baptism, the sacrament of baptism, is to serve to remind us and assure us? Again, what did the apostle write? Do you not know? Of course they know. It's a way of speaking that expresses surprise because something so obvious, so clear, is practically being questioned. That's what our sin does. Sin is irrational. Sin makes no sense. Sin, in light of the promise, the goodwill of God, does something else. We need this again and again and again all our life through. Do you not know? Yes, we know. Thank you. We need that reminder. We do. Baptism is a seal. God's good will toward you in Christ. As we think of that goodwill, let us be assured of it. God is clear in his word of that blessing. He's also clear in his word of a further blessing. And that we come to in our third point, that this promise is not only for believers, but also for their children. We move to that then, baptism for infants, baptism for infants. Now throughout history, the children of believers have been included in God's church. God put them in all the way with Abraham. He hasn't taken them out. God formalized children being in the church with Abraham. He explicitly commanded Abraham that male children 8 days old receive the sign of the covenant, circumcision. You read of that in Genesis. Now, with the shift then from the old covenant to the new covenant, some things have changed, yes. But the heart of religion has not. And so with the sign of the covenant. It's changed from circumcision to baptism. And while females now receive the sign of the covenant instead of males only, and while Gentiles now also are brought in instead of Jews only, it's being applied to children has not changed. Throughout the New Testament, point to a number of passages, it talks about households being baptized. With the new covenant, we don't find in the New Testament a shrinking of grace. It's always an expansion, males and females, Jews and Gentiles. Always grace, the doors are thrown open more widely in the new covenant than the old. So it only fits that the children of believers are still included in the covenant. God's people, they aren't kicked out. Therefore, as the Catechism rightly says in answer 74, they no less than adults are promised the forgiveness of sins through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who produces faith. See, baptism is a sign and seal, as we've said, of God's promise. It's not the reality itself. It points to it. It assures it. Forgiveness through Christ's blood, washing by his Spirit. And it's just as much for children as for adults. Now, would anyone say that God leaves unforgiven the sins of all infants? No one says that. Now, maybe someone would say, well, infants have no sin. They don't need forgiveness. Some people say that. But the Bible teaches us every human being is born in sin. Psalm 51, Ephesians 2, by nature, children of wrath. Infants, too, corrupt from conception on, need to have their sins forgiven if they're to live with God in heaven. Well, then, if the reality is promised to infants, if they can possess the reality of the promise, of course, we ought to put the sign and seal on them. Infants can possess the reality, and so they should receive the sign and seal. Do they have the reality? We read from Isaiah 44, Old Testament even, Old Testament. And there was a prophecy. The Lord said, he will pour my Spirit upon your offspring. See, that's the reality right there, your Spirit. You can't get any more fulfillment than your Spirit. Upon your offspring. That's what God promised in his word. And we see, too, about Isaiah speaks of that blessing on the descendants. Well, what do we read in the gospel accounts? Jesus took the children in his arms and blessed them. If God promises the reality to them, we ought to put the sign on there. They are God's people. They are in his covenant. They, too, ought to be baptized. Otherwise, we're making too much of the sacrament and not enough of the reality that the sacrament points to. Not enough of God's promise, of which baptism is a sign, is a seal. Now, by baptizing infants, we're not saying every infant of a believer is already regenerated, already believes in Jesus. We're not saying that. We're not saying that of an adult who's baptized either, are we? Baptism is not primarily about what we say or we do. Baptism primarily points to what God has promised, that washing. The washing. It's focused on God's promise. Yes, our responsibility comes out in baptism. The Apostle Paul brings that out in the Romans reading, even. Don't you know? Again, even Romans, where's the focus? Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, God's promise. In fact, it's because God makes such wonderful promises to believers and their children, that Christian parents, we bring before our children not only the duty, children, that you are to obey your parents in the Lord, but we pray for our children, don't we? Pray for grace, children, that you would obey your parents. Not out of legalism, but that God works that from the heart. God makes this promise to believers and children. And parents, you can teach your children to pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." So what does that mean for us? Parents, pray for your children. Teach your children. Teach your children to pray. Again, that doesn't mean that all children of believers are elect, even as it doesn't mean that all confessing adults in a particular congregation are elect. Let God be true, every man a liar. God's promise is not affected by our faithfulness or our wickedness. Baptism has its eye towards God's promise. God's action, washing. Washing us through Christ's blood. That as John saw, we would be in glory dressed in white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so, people of God, we baptize our children, whether born into a household or adopted into a household. They are all in God's covenant by God's grace. God uses baptism to assure us of his goodwill, and that extends to our children. How wonderfully gracious and kind God is. In light of then what baptism is, a sign and a seal that it is to be administered to believers and their children, by God's grace, let us lift up our heart and don't be stuck in this earthly sacrament, this earthly sign, but lift our hearts up to the spiritual reality. That's yours in Christ. Not just for others, but for you. Don't doubt God's goodwill toward you in Christ. But firmly lay hold of it. Firmly lay hold of Christ by faith every day. As Paul said, do we not know? Yes, we do. God wants us to know and be assured. Why? So we too might walk in newness of life. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. You know our faith is weak. We need to have it strengthened. All of us do. And you have us hear that message again and again. We're sorry, Lord, as we live in weak faith, as we sin, as we don't walk in newness of life as we ought, as we don't remember and live out of that faith that we died and were raised with Christ. And so open our ears to hear that again. Remind us of that. Keep it in our minds throughout the week. May we, as one another, believers, tell one another, parents to their children especially, may we be assured of your goodwill. In the power of the Spirit, may we live in newness of life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.